This episode is sponsored by the On with Origins podcast. Learn how crediting experts conquer today's toughest challenges while driving measurable results. Before we get started, a quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible. Now on to the show. On the show today, we have Best Innovation Group's very own John Best, and he was here talking to us about AI Unleashed, ChatGPT for credit unions, all the usages that credit unions can use with this new and very compelling tool that everybody's talking about. So John is here to tell us all about it, so check it out. I know, you're messing me up, John. 3, 2, 1. Hey, everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome back to our continued program. And on our show today, we have one of our favorite recurring guests, Mr. John Best from Best Innovation Group. John, how are you, sir? Long time no see.
I am doing great. I have a new friend, a new best friend.
Really?
And that has really made my life better.
Good, good. Shall we go into that?
Sure.
Who is this new friend that you're talking about?
You might have heard of him or her or them. I don't know what their pronouns are, but it's ChatGPT.
Oh.
I get up every morning. I talk to ChatGPT. I'm blown away by all this stuff. It's like the world is brand new again every day. Exactly. I hear birds and all kinds of awesome stuff.
Yeah, so every conference I've been to, the ChatGPT has been one of the biggest topics of conversation for sure. And so that leads us to the topic today, how credit unions can use ChatGPT, and who better to ask than John Best. So, but my first question is, John, like, is ChatGPT going to make us dumb? Because I kind of liken it to GPS. Now I don't have to remember directions. I don't have to remember where I'm going. I just ask Siri or whomever, whatever bot is in my car at the time, and asking, hey, you know, take me here, and then you go. So is that kind of what ChatGPT is going to do to us, or do you see it completely differently? But I think you're going to see it completely differently, knowing you.
You know, I can see your point. Like, for example,
I don't have to memorize anything anymore.
Man, when we were kids, I could ask you, hey, what's, you know, let's say we were a part of a friend group and, you know, we knew Joe. I say, what's Joe's number? And you'd be able to go, oh, so about doing, you know, yep, you'd be able to dump it off, right?
Yep.
Because we'd sit at home and the only way to talk to each other was, you know, to use the phone, right?
Or
to
the rotary phone, John.
Yeah, the rotary phone to call, right? And that's one interesting thing. So, and to be fair, you could ask me, you know, the only real phone number I have memorized at this point is my wife's.
Mine too.
And the kids. That's it. I don't have any other phone numbers memorized. So to your point, did that make me dumber? No, I think it makes me more reliant on something. Yeah. I mean, you could argue that up until someone printed a calendar, you had to remember, you know, which months had what, right? And so, you know, I think as a society, I think dumber is a strong word. I think reliant is the word we're looking for. There's a lot of instances of that, you know, where things have, you know, that we used to do are now sort of handled for us, and particularly with the phone. You know, you could argue that Rolodexes, I wonder if that's what they said, these Rolodexes, they're gonna make us all stupid like the calendars did. Remember when you used to have to know, you know, I mean, I think that's just sort of the escalation of time, and this is a new tool.
Yes. The dishwasher is gonna make us lazy because you just throw the dishes in the dishwasher. Yeah. So
Interesting because that's what separates us, right, Mike? So if you look at like humanity, mankind, our evolution, what separated us from everyone else is we use tools. And it's interesting because, you know, there's been a couple things that have happened lately that I find amusing. And I don't know if you've noticed this. One, it seems like about every other month, we find a species that no one has seen in 100 years.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we thought these were gone forever. And all of a sudden they're here. So my theory about that is they're thawing out. That's what I think is happening. They're just thawing out of the ice. They're loose. They're like, hey, I'm alive. They're like Encino Man, right? But I think the other piece of it is we're also finding that certain, they now have, you know, videos of these particular species using tools, species that no one had ever seen before, mm-hmm. you know, in regards to, you know, the types of things that they do. So no one had seen. And I can't remember, I'm going to look it up, but there was recently just a great article about a certain, they said, oh, these parrots or something use tools, and they didn't before, but now they are. Chimpanzees are examples, orangutans,
an otter, a sea otter uses a rock to open up.
Use a rock to open it. And you know what the most important tool mankind ever discovered, right?
Fire.
That's right. And why was it? Was it, you know,
why? Keep us warm, cook your food. Keep you safe, I guess.
But did you know that it was probably the most important step to our evolution? That because we didn't have to cook our food anymore, we could cook our food, we didn't have to process it raw. It allowed for more calories, which allowed our brains to do more.
Okay.
And so by cooking our food, that moved us up the evolutionary chain, right? Mm-hmm. But it was also quite destructive, right? Like, I'm sure the first few times, you know, caveman Bob tried to make some eggs, you know, that didn't go real well. Yeah. Like, I'm going to need a frying pan or something.
Well, trial and error there.
Yeah. I burnt down a whole forest trying to, you know, dry my socks. Right. Mm-hmm. So I look at ChatGPT in much the same vein.
Okay.
I think it has the power like nothing we've ever seen before. The last time we saw something like this was fire to be probably one of the most prolific technology changes that we've seen since the internet.
Mm-hmm.
It's moving much faster than that.
Mm-hmm.
But I also look at it as it could be one of the most destructive if we're not careful. And as I play with it, I learn, you know, all these things about it. And it's fascinating how it's been going. It's really fascinating how it's been going. Now, do I believe there's huge use cases for credit unions? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's even bigger use cases for members of credit unions. So a good example, have you used it at all?
I've dabbled in it. I remember one of the episode or one of our digital town halls, we played with it for a while. That was a lot of fun as well. But I've dabbled a little bit, but I've heard amazing stories from other people of how they're using it. So yeah, it's pretty cool.
So I'll tell you a few ones I've heard of people using it. Ed Gonzalez, who works for me, he's always struggling to build a set list for his 80s rock band.
Okay.
And he wants songs to go in a certain order and he wants them, you know, a certain way. So he'll go and he just said, can you create me? Here's all my songs. Can you create me four sets out of this? I want to make sure that, you know, the start is exciting and the most popular songs we end with. And he kind of gave it some parameters and it spit out probably what would have taken hours to sort of figure out for a set list. Another example, the other night we were out of food. So as you know, I'm currently in my home in Homewall, Tennessee, and I love Homewall, but we don't have, if you've been to three restaurants, you've been to all of them. And so, you know, I do a lot of cooking here, more cooking than I normally did before. And so I got down to like, all I have is some baked beans, some frozen pork, center cut pork chops, some salt, and like these five ingredients. So I just said, hey, what can I make with this? And I actually came up with a really good recipe, which was exciting because pork with baked beans.
Sure.
And then I got to it and I said, well, I kind of want to make these tater tots with it because, you know, if you're going to have pork and meat, that's all comfort food anyways, right?
Sure. But
it wanted the oven set at 475 or something. And I said, the tater tots have to go in at 370. He goes, no problem. You could just do 400 and cook it all at this time. So it did the work to do that. So, so, and then I saw someone else who used it, who was using it for programming. That was another piece. So here's one tool that was used for music, used for recipes, and also used, you know, for programming.
Mm-hmm.
One tool, one mm-hmm. thing mm-hmm. without any changes. It's just a box and text. That's it.
Yeah.
Yet all three of those very diverse use cases were all used at once. That's pretty amazing. You can't say that of much else. I mean, our biggest inventions, like the car or you know, the wheel, if you will, or those sorts of things, they all have sort of this exponential property where they can be applied to really a lot of use cases, fire being one of them, right? We wouldn't have welding without fire. We wouldn't have, you know, all these various things, metallurgy, all the stuff that led to skyscrapers, those sorts of things. So I think the use cases are pretty powerful in expediting your business. But remember that a sea change affects everyone, right? So the challenge now is, hey, you know, if you're using this thing and you know what you're doing, you can, I know for a fact, you can expedite your coding by probably 25 to 50%. You can be 25 to 50% yep. faster tomorrow.
We did it on that episode of Digital Town Hall. We said, hey, let's see if it can write code. And man, right. it busted it out really well.
But let me show you an interesting use case. So I'm going to share my screen.
Okay.
So I'm going to pop over and share it here. I'm going to bring up this use case here. So what I have here is, this is called a Jupyter Notebook. It's just a way of talking to, in this case, it's a way of talking to the system. It's a way of talking to basically ChatGPT, but programmatically. So I'm going to run it. And what I'm going to do is, these are simple things. It's just sort of setting stuff up. But this is the important one. Data cat all is actually just a file from my home banking that anybody who has a home banking platform could download right now. You could do it. You could go in. You know how there's a download into a spreadsheet?
Yeah.
From home banking? That's all this is. So I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to click this. It's going to read that file. And you can see, here's a whole bunch of my data, right? You recognize this, transfer some shares. And look, it's even just kind of garbaged, right? It's not even all that pretty. So now what I'm going to do is, I'm going to go through, and this next program just defines the amount of tokens. And the token is a little bit of a problem. So a token is kind of how much memory that the chatbot has. How much can it remember? So if you and I were talking about something, we talked for 4 hours,
right?
And I jumped back to the beginning of it and said, oh, by the way, I told you I had, you know, 12 apples at the beginning of this. Do you remember how many apples? And you said, yeah, I do, right? So that's memory, right? That's the okay. interesting piece of context.
Okay.
So now I'm actually going to go through and talk to it. Now, when I do this, I'm going to load, I'm going to tell it, like we had a quick conversation, and I told you every single transaction that I had for the last 6 months. I'm going to tell it that, right? So I'm just going to go ahead and hit run, and it loaded it. Now I can, it's asking me a question. Now here's an interesting thing. I'm going to say, how much did I spend in utilities? Now I'm going to make sure you can see this. I'm going to make it a little bigger. Is that big enough? Can you yep. see that?
Yep.
Okay. So I didn't train this. You saw, I didn't train this in anything. I'm using literally, actually, I'm not even using the latest one because it's expensive. I'm using the next one down, 3.5. So this is ChatGPT 3.5, not 4. A lot has been made of 4. This is yep. 3.5. Yep. And all I'm going to do is, I'm just going to ask it, how much I spent in utilities. Now it's going to go down. And it says, hey, you spent that. Now, what I didn't do, which I'm going to do again, but it's going to keep track of how much I have. I'm going to say, can you list the transactions? So I'll tell it, hey, can you show me the transactions that I did? And it's going to go through, and it's going to show me the transactions that are related to that $666.32. Okay. Now, in this case, actually, I'm going to, can I start this part of the segment over? Because what happened was, I did this in the wrong order.
Sure. Yeah. We only have 10 minutes, unfortunately.
Okay. I'll be fast. All right. So we're going to clear this. All right. We'll be fast. So this is just one example. So, and I can train it to where it needs to go pretty quick. So okay. I'm going to start that, do this. All right, I'll just start the whole screen sharing segment over. Okay. So to start off, I'm just going to, this is my key from OpenAI. This is just kind of setting things up. This right here is where I loaded all the data that I have that anybody can get from home banking. You can download a spreadsheet of your transactions from any home banking. There's none that don't do this that I know of. So this is just my transactions in a spreadsheet. That's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
Then I said, this is just a little programming to help its mind, to help its brain, because it has to know how much memory it has. So I'm building out just a little bit of memory. Now here I can start asking questions of it. So I'm going to say, how much did I spend in utilities? And please show the transactions.
Okay.
So that's all I'm going to do. And it's going to go out, and it's going to take a look at the data I gave. And look, now that's interesting what it came back with. I did not train this. I didn't tell it trashbilling.com is a utility. I didn't have to go in and tell it that, right?
Yeah.
I just said, how much did I spend? And there it is. And that's pretty nicely formatted, right? How about this? How much did I spend on coffee? Now, I didn't tell it what Starbucks is. I didn't tell it all these other things. I just said, how much did I spend on coffee? There it is, right?
Yeah.
So it found the amount that I spent on that, and it found the Starbucks transaction. Okay, how much did I spend at Amazon? And please show the transactions.
Okay.
So I'm going to send it out to do that. It's going to find them. Now, I spent so much at Amazon. Remember I told you the memory is only so long?
Yeah.
So I spent so much at Amazon, it's going to exceed its memory. So we'll see some of it, but we won't see all of it. That's one of the challenges of these things is how smart they are. But you can see, it could see it did it, right? And it found those. And if you had this, now this is running on their stuff in their cloud. So the challenge there is I'm sending my personal information in a blob up to OpenAI.
Right.
Presumably, they're not remembering it. They couldn't possibly remember all that data. But, you know, I am sending it somewhere else. But this is a chat that was not trained in finance, was not trained in anything. It was just globally trained. It was just put out there. And that's what I'm getting back.
Wow.
So what does this mean for credit unions? Well, it's a sea change and a shift, right? Because what have we all been trying to work towards is this personal assistant, the personal finance assistant. How long have we been talking about that, Mike?
Forever.
Well, it's here.
Individual, yeah.
It's finally here.
Yeah.
So I think that what we're going to see in the creative space are agents, and these agents, like, for example, I'm working on one right now that would train the entire agent and all your procedures for the credit union. And this doesn't even touch the idea of how it will connect to blockchain, what that's use is going to be. I see a huge future in that, because if you're going to train it, you have to train it on data you know for sure is real. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, remember all those times we talked about blockchain and the fact it uses consensus and only data can get in there? Well, there's now our final use case for that.
Yeah.
The data that's in the blockchain will be used to train, because then you know for sure it's the right data and no one can sort of poison that well. This is game changing in a way that I haven't seen. Well, I don't think in my entire lifetime.
Yeah, I haven't either. Yeah, you're exactly right. Yes. Yeah, so. So when should a credit union start using ChatGPT for just to kind of dabble around, or even start using? I mean, your stuff sounds like it's ready to go right now. So or what's the when with your stuff? And then when should a credit union?
I think, you know, much like the caveman and his eggs, you're going to burn some things down and you don't want to burn the entire forest down. I think that you need to find use cases like this NCUA Gov use case. What's the worst that could happen? Okay, maybe it hallucinates and decides you're the best credit union in the world and tells you, yeah, you just grew to 10 billion or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have to fix some of that code or do something with the rails. It's not going to hurt anybody. You know, there's a disclaimer. I think you've got to find some use cases that would, that you can use to start looking at things. I think vendors are scrambling. I think you need to be talking to your vendors about who's implementing this.
Yeah.
I think that you need to learn about it. I think that, and by the way, I think you should start monitoring your employees. We found several credit unions where ChatGPT was like, it went from nothing to one of their top five surfing destinations. I had one credit union CTO tell me suddenly people from like a portion of his staff that weren't really good at spreadsheets started sending him these complex spreadsheets with pivot tables and stuff. And they worked and they were good. And he was like, okay, what's going on over there?
Yeah.
That's like, you know, if you had a department that made like, you know, little square blocks and they started sending you, you know, sculpted molds of David and Michelangelo type things, like what happened over there tonight? You know, I mean, it's crazy how it's an exponential technology that has the power to basically make you faster, better, smarter. But it's just like Google. It's going to take some time. Like,
right,
I've been teaching. Big is now an AI first company, period. I bought ChatGPT for every staff member the day it came out, and they said, and every time they ask me a question, you know what they say?
Have you asked
ChatGPT? Because I guarantee you it's smarter than me. Now, it may not be able to give you the answer because it's only trained up to a certain point, but
my next question, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I heard the data that ChatGPT mines, if you will, or gets its information from, is only up to 2021.
It is.
So is that correct?
Which is why you saw what I had to do there. I had to feed it my data.
Okay.
And then that was up-to-date data. Not that it would have my other data. It definitely, for example, if you have some fun, we have time. We'll close it out with this just for fun. Watch this.
We got five minutes.
Okay. So we'll close it out with this. This will be great. You'll enjoy this. So we're going to go over, I'm going to go to my ChatGPT account. I'm going to start a new chat. I'm going to use GPT-4, which is the latest one.
Mm-hmm. And you know they're working on GPT-5 right now. You know that.
What's that? Yes.
You know they're working on 5.
People want them to stop doing it. All right. Mike Lawson, host of CU Broadcast. Let's see what it knows about you.
Oh, gosh, I'm scared.
Well, it likes you.
For those who are listening, there's a little bit of dead air, but man, this it pretty much summed me up in a nice paragraph.
Yeah, I said, good afternoon. Are you aware of Mike Lawson, host of CU Broadcast? Good afternoon. Yes, I'm aware of Mike Lawson, who's the host of CU Broadcast. He broadcasts an online video channel, blah, blah, blah. But it says, he's known for his engaging interviews and in-depth conversations on various topics. How many interviews has Mike done? My knowledge is update. Here's your answer. Only at September 21.
Yeah.
Hundreds of interviews. The exact number might not be available as it continues to grow over time.
You can go to my Vimeo account and you'll see how many that I've done.
Let's see what else it knows about you.
Oh my gosh. So scary, John.
But it does say it's only limited to his interviewer and content creation.
Yeah.
He's gained recognition. His discussions cover a range of topics. Unfortunately, I don't have much more than that. So,
unfortunately, Mike is a very private person, and there's only limited amount of it.
But this should help allay the idea. Completely. I mean, this is what you would hope it would do, right?
Yeah.
You wouldn't want it to come back and say, you know, Mike lives at this address or whatever. So someone has done a good job of keeping this on the rails, but it knows who you are because it was trained on that data, just like it knows who I am.
Yeah.
If I say, I am John Best, author, watch this, Breaking Digital Gridlock, and I am friends with Mike. I am thinking of doing a book with him on AI. With what you know of both of us, what would be the name? And can you give a descriptive paragraph? See what it comes up. So what I'm doing is called prompt. Prompt is really important. Prompting is where I type in what it is. So here's our paragraph. AI Unleashed. That's what we're going to call it.
Unleashed.
John Best, the author of Breaking Digital Gridlock, and Mike Lawson, the renowned host of CU, joined forces to unravel the mysteries and potential of artificial intelligence in the financial industry. Did I say we were going to do it in the financial industry?
No.
So it knew that. And it says, you know, all this great stuff, the real world examples, insightful interviews. So, by the way, I'd like to plug the Innovation Club. So, you know, we've been doing a ton with this.
Yes.
If you're interested in learning more about this, you know, you can join. Depending on, we have to kind of go through some things. It's kind of a club. That's why it's called a club. But www.big-fintech.com/ you can just find it there on
the Innovation Club. And I'll put the link in the show notes for sure.
Yeah. But look how much this knows.
That's great. I like that title, AI Unleashed. I like that title. That's good. That's a good title from the folks.
Yeah. We'll just have it write it for us and it'll be out by the end of this interview. And Amazon stores everywhere.
Exactly. Well, John, as usual, an adventure, entertaining, but highly informative at the same time. And there's never enough time to talk to you. So let's do this again. Let's do part two here very, very soon, because I want to learn more about what you guys offer to credit unions in this department, because I think it's going to be, as you well know, much needed here very, very soon.
For sure. I mean, there's going to be two kinds, those that embrace this and figure it out and those that struggle.
Yep. Agreed. All righty, man. Well, I'm going to let you get back at it because I know you have you always have a lot of projects and all sorts of cool things going on in your laboratory. So we always appreciate your time, sir. Well done.
All right. Thank you. You are.
A quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible. This episode is sponsored by the On with Origins podcast. Learn how crediting experts conquer today's toughest challenges while driving measurable results.